Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. If you have a phone that, like an iPhone, that you take apps and stuff with, I found a really good app that will help you with meditation on Scripture. And I've been using it, and I've been very impressed with it, and I would like encourage you, if you can't put it on your phone, it's free. And it takes one verse of Scripture. You can do 2 minutes, you can do 5 minutes, you can do 10 minutes or 15 minutes. You decide how long you want to do it. And it will walk you through a different verse every day and will help you meditate on it. It'll read it to you several times. There's music in the background. It's just really good. The app is called Abide. You got it? Isn't that great? Abide. How many of you have that? Well, you ought to get it because it's really good. And I've been really blessed by that. And I just wanted to share that with you and encourage you in that particular area. I was meditating on one verse of Scripture today out of the Abide app, actually in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. You don't need to turn there. But it talks about the Lord's coming back. And I meditated and thought about that throughout most of the day. And then I go to the bank, and when I get out of the bank, we're going into the bank, I meet a friend who stops his truck, gets out, gives me a great big hug, and he says, "Guess what?" I said, "Well," he said, "we're going to heaven." I mean, "We're going to heaven. We're really going to heaven. We're going to heaven." And his happiness got on me. I started feeling happy. I said, "That's right. We're going to heaven. I mean, we're really going to heaven. You're going to heaven." Amen. Think about that. Amen. Whatever trials you're going through right now, but fine, that's fine. But you're going to heaven. And John, by the way, I read your testimony. Oh my goodness. His brother's got an incredible testimony that ought to inspire hope to anybody who ever goes through a hopeless situation. Because if the devil would have had his way, he would have taken him out. And by all man's standards, there was no hope but God. And I'd like to talk to you about maybe sometime to share your testimony here, because it is remarkable. And I'd love for you to print up some copies and give them. People would love that. It's a great testimony, and well written too, by the way. Thank you so much. I want to encourage you tonight with one verse of Scripture the Lord's encouraged me with. And Alice, before you gave me this Scripture, you said it's your favorite Scripture. I already had this written out. I meant to tell you that then, so I thought, well, if you come to church Wednesday night and you're going to think, well, God already wrote this. He was speaking to me, and then you confirmed it, this particular Scripture we're going to look at. What does it mean to commit everything to God? The word commit is an interesting word. The word commit means to make a binding declaration. To be bound by trust. Really, it has to be based on a commitment has to be based on trust. A few weeks ago, I shared with you about how we learn to grow in trusting God through steps. And usually the thing that God teaches us or tries to teach us how to trust Him is with our stuff, our material things, our money, our car, our guest room. And God really wants us to trust Him with everything. Would you agree? But are we there yet? Do we want to go there?
Is it a good place to be fully committed to God and to everything? It's very freeing and very liberating. But getting there is going to be very trying on your nerves. And you probably know that already. Remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus? And Jesus told him, he said, what must I do to inherit? And Jesus said, well, you know, obey the law and prophets. Well, I've done that. And he says, then go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. Now, Jesus never said that to anybody else that I'm aware of. Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. Come follow me. We can only wonder what would have happened had he done that. Wow. But he couldn't do what I'm talking about tonight and where we're all at in our lives too. We can't really, can we really commit everything, everything, everything to God? Most people will never be asked by God to go sell everything you have and come follow me. There are some people that have testified that that's what God told them to do, and they've done it, and they have incredible testimonies. But most of us, I mean, God's never asked me to do that. Never asked me, and go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. What a challenge that would be. Most people never be asked it, but do you remember when Jesus, remember I shared this a few weeks ago on Wednesday night, that when Jesus was, before he's going into Jerusalem, he told the two disciples, go into Jerusalem, you're going to find a colt or a donkey. It's never been ridden, one version says. And untie him and bring him. If somebody stops you and says, hey, what are you doing? You tell him the Lord has need of him. And they did. They went in there, they found the donkey, and the guy stops and says, hey, what are you doing? The Lord has need of him. He said, okay. So that tells me that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Father somehow had already dealt with this man that we don't know his name. His name's not mentioned. God had dealt with him to this degree of commitment, everything. And how he deals with us is very similar, though. And I shared some of this a few weeks ago, but it's important to review it. You know, the Lord may come to you in a little bit different way. You may not even recognize it's the Lord asking for something from you. You may have been to the altar, like many of us have, and said, Lord, I commit everything to you. And you mean it as best to your ability. And then a test will come. You'll find somebody who has need of your car. You're aware of the need, you have a car, maybe a brand new car, and you feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit like God has just showed you a need that this person needs to use your car, and the challenge will be, will you really do it? You may have already been there. Or it may be that you have a guest room in your home, and you'll learn of a need of somebody one day, and then that they need a place to stay, and you know, it's a lot of trouble sometimes to take people into your home because you're taking in their troubles and you don't know a lot of things about them. And, you know, you don't want to sleep with a shotgun in your bed afraid they're going to get up in the middle of the night and be an axe murderer or something. I mean, but if the Lord nudges your heart, I mean, are you going to be able to say, yes, Lord? Maybe your service. Maybe it's somebody who needs a ride to church. As I noticed, there's been a little lady who's been calling and asking, is there anybody come by and pick me up? And she lives, I forget exactly where, Jenny's posted out there on the web. I mean, it may be the Lord nudges you and says, hey, you go do that. So this commitment thing is really a big deal to God. You know what he's really after? He's after our heart. And he won't settle for anything less. He's not after a contribution. He's after your heart. And this commitment thing is big in the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus said, if you're ever going to follow me, the first thing you're going to have to do is deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Easy to quote. It's different to walk. Commitment really is putting things we have back in their rightful place and then adjusting our perspective here on life that, you know, this is just temporary stuff. I'm going to heaven where everything is going to be supplied for me. This is just temporary. I have a stewardship here with what I have, whether it be money, whether it be time, whether it be energy, whether it be a guest room, whether it be a car. I have a stewardship here that I'll never have in eternity. So right now, this is a stewardship that God has entrusted me with, and I want to be able to say, when the Lord says, I have need of that, I say, yes, sir, without hesitation. So, this requires a commitment, not a contribution. You know the difference between a contribution and a commitment, right? You heard the story before about the farmer who said, man, I want some ham and eggs. And the pig and the chicken heard him talking, and the chicken said, you know what? He's such a good guy. Let's give him ham and eggs. And the pig says, well, hold on a minute. For you, that's just a contribution. For me, it's a total commitment. All right? God's not looking for a contribution. I mean, that may be a process of you doing that, but he's looking for commitment. And you might be surprised to hear that that's where the Lord is leading you. I don't care where you are in your journey. It's where he's leading me. We're all being led to the same place. Will we trust him to the point where we'll really commit? And learning to trust God is a process of growth and maturity for all of us, isn't it? The whole 40 years in the wilderness, the whole 40 years of the Israel walking in the wilderness, do you know what that was all about? Learning to trust God. That's all it was. 40 years learning to trust God. In fact, Deuteronomy 8, you won't see it on the screen, verse 3 says this, speaking about the wilderness, that God himself will take you through the wilderness. He will humble you. Oh, God will humble you. And he allowed you to hunger. You know, there are sometimes people on the street with signs, say, I'm hungry, I need food. There are sometimes God wants them to be hungry. I'm not saying every case. There are sometimes God wants them to be hungry. What I'm saying is that sometimes you shouldn't help. You're actually getting in the way. You have to be led by the Spirit. And there are times you should. Every time we've been led to do that with somebody, it's been a blessing to us in return. And we've been surprised how humble and how sweet someone, how thankful someone has been, you know. And it's been a blessing. We got more out of it than they did. Whether it be giving some money or some food or whatever. But anyway, in the wilderness, God humbles you. He allows you to hunger, and he fed them with manna. Can you imagine every day of your life eating this substance that comes up out of the ground in the morning, and you had to go out every day not knowing, is it going to be here tomorrow? You had to learn to trust God. Every day we go out. We couldn't go out and get more than enough except for the preparation for the Sabbath. We had to go out every day and find this stuff. Every day, we had to trust God's going to. All the whole lesson of the wilderness, not having water. What are we? We're thirsty. We have to have water. God knows you need water. The majority of your body is made up of water. You have to have water. They're out in the desert. They have to have water, and they have no water. There's a million people. God led them to be without water. Why? Why? To learn to trust God. Why has God led you to some places that were very difficult in your life? That's what this life is all about right here. This world is our wilderness. Promised land is heaven. And we won't have any giants to fight. I mean, you could say promised land is the abundant life, and that's true as well. But my point is, this is your wilderness right here. You're going through the same thing. You and I are going through the same things, and every trial that we face is really comes down to one thing. Will we learn to trust? So God brought them through all this stuff. So that, it says, that they might recognize and personally know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's what God's trying to teach you and me. That it is vital that we hear from God. It's vital that we have a word from God. And so, God has to teach us, and we have to learn through lack, sometimes through trouble. Are we going to trust God? And trusting God's where the battle's fought, because it's easier to trust in things you can touch or you can feel or money or things or whatever. It's easier to trust in things than it is to trust in God that you can't see. And God will reveal areas to us where we need to trust Him. In fact, I guarantee you that's what He's doing with all of us right now. God has got this crazy idea that, for example, trials are good for us. And He says in James chapter 1 that we are to be joyful about it. I haven't seen anybody do that one yet, including myself. I'll eventually come around to it and say, okay, yes, sir, I'm going to be thankful, be grateful, and I'm going to be joyful by your grace. But usually at the beginning, I'm not that way. And so we keep going around the mountain until we learn, oh, I've been here before. I'm going to step out this time and trust God. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes, because you find God's faithful. It's like when you're starting to tithe. The first time you do it, you may be excited about it, and things may go pretty well for a week or two, and then the car breaks down, or the refrigerator goes out, or the kids need something. And then you got a real test on your hands, you know. That's when you have to trust God. And so each time that you trust God, if you're faithful through that, you find out He's faithful. He's not a liar. He keeps His word. And so you believe that. And so it should get easier to trust God as we go through trials. We are growing in patience. We are growing in perseverance. Do you know what most people's prayers are? God, take this away. Take this trouble away. Make this go away. Make this person go away. Make this stop happening. Most of the time, God doesn't do that. We should be praying instead, God, make me strong enough to deal with this. God, help me to be persevering. Help me to do this your way. God, help me to find the strength and the joy of the Lord as my strength to walk through this thing triumphantly. And then when you do that, guess what? You don't have to retake the test. Isn't it great not to have to retake a test? Amen. And so when we commit things to God, actually, what I'm seeing in this is that God gives us rest in our soul. When we say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. Commitment is not lazy resignation, like, well, okay, sarah, sarah, whatever happens, happens. No, it's not giving up. You enter God's rest by trusting God, trusting His word. That's how you enter His rest. I believe you're with me. I believe you're my shepherd. I believe you're my healer. I believe you're my provider. You're going to show me how to deal with this. When you think of God's people being delivered from Egypt, they were committed. You think they've been slaves. Their parents were slaves. Their grandfathers were slaves. Their great-grandfather, they've been slaves all their life. Moses comes along, man of God. God has spoken. We're to leave this night. They go out. And they're committed. They are committed. I mean, you couldn't look at it. You're not going to leave where you've lived all your life and your parents have lived and grandparents lived without being committed and follow a guy out into the desert. So they're committed. They're trusting God. Then lo and behold, they walk through the Red Sea. Wow. It's exciting times. It's revival in the church. Miracles, signs, and wonders are happening. And then the revival ends. We need water. Where's God? We need food. Where's God? We got trouble among us. Where's God? Each one of these things required of them a higher level of commitment. We lack water. Where's God? Are you going to trust Him or not? It's a choice. Are you going to trust Him or not? Are you going to believe Him or not? Trust God. We got trouble. What are we going to do? We're going to trust God. We got sickness. What are we going to do? They didn't have sickness, but you may face sickness. What are you going to do? You're going to trust God. Each trial, obstacle you face, it is an opportunity to step up or step back. Either trust God in whom you can't see or trust in things that you can't see. And that's everybody's trial. So we grow in our commitment. Through lack, through trouble, whatever it is. I have two teenage granddaughters. Mariah's 16, going to be 17. And Julia is 15. Now, Mariah drives. She's a good driver. Julia got a restricted license. She's not a good driver. She's dangerous. And Papa, that's what they call me, taught them how to drive by driving my car around the church property here. Thank God you don't see any dents in the walls. And it was easier for me to teach them than their mom or their dad. And their dad's a good teacher too with that. He's patient. And Pam, my wife, ain't no way. That is not going to happen. I mean, even when we were letting them drive and, you know, slow down and watch this car. And, you know, if you've done that, you know what I'm talking about. And that, so Pam couldn't do that by no means. But that was my job. And so I learned to let them even make some mistakes, not crash, but make some mistakes, you know. I didn't correct every little thing they did every single moment, you know. Was I nervous? Oh, yeah, at times I was. Absolutely. But we learn by trial and error. We learn by process. And God knows that about us, that we learn to trust God by going through things. In fact, the truth be known, our greatest growth is when we go through trials more than when things are just wonderful. I mean, you may think, boy, I'm a very content person when you ain't got no trouble and nothing's going wrong and you got all your needs met. What good? I mean, how do you know that's contentment? Contentment doesn't do you any good until you have trials, until you have lack, where you can learn to be content in all things, you know. So we have to understand that God has a way of growing us up that we may not like it. So here's how we do it. Here's Alice's life verse, maybe your life verse. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Say it out loud with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. How many of you would say that's a life verse for me? That's a very important verse I refer to. But the greater your trust. You want to say something? Sure, sure. Come on up here. They need to hear you.
It's paths. It has an S on it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not just a path. It's every path that we walk, every path, He says, and He will direct your paths.
Amen.
And that's important to me.
Amen. That's right. It's your path. You have one path with God. That's right. And He'll direct it. Amen. And how did you begin your walk with the Lord? What one word would describe it? Mm-hmm. Say that out loud. Trust, right? You know, for me, it was, I've showed you before the bridge to life diagram. You know, over here is man, and over here is God, and we're separated and by sin and all these things in the world. And the only thing that God bridged the gap between sinful man and holy God was the cross. And when I had somebody explain the gospel to me, it was through this little diagram, and I saw that I had to not just believe in Jesus and stand over here and look and say, yeah, I believe that, but I had to walk by faith across this bridge that I couldn't see or feel and believe that that's what brought me to God and brought me in the right relationship with Him. So when I walked by faith, when I said, I trust You, God, You're my Savior now. I'm not condemned anymore. I don't have to feel guilty anymore. I don't have to feel ashamed anymore. I'm fully forgiven. All my sins, past, present, and future, have been taken care of on the cross. I'll never go to hell. I'm saved for eternity. I'm in Your hands. I'm Your child. I've been born by Your Spirit. All by faith. Trusting God. You began by trusting God, and that's why you're here in church on a Wednesday night. You began by trusting God, and trust is your choice as you continue to trust God. And then, here's the hard part. Lean not into your own understanding. Because most of our life, that's what we've done. And God's ways don't agree with our understanding. You can look at God's way and say, it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. How in the world, when we're not paying our bills now, can I give God 10% of it and be able to pay it? My bills. Doesn't make any sense. An accountant will tell you, that's dumb, don't do that. And so we will never understand God's ways. He gives the peace that passes all understanding without taking away the problem. The mountain's still there. You're still facing the sickness. The problem hadn't changed. In fact, it's gotten worse. But somehow you have the peace that passes all understanding. And people say, how can you have peace? He said, I don't understand it either, but it's God's grace. So you keep leaning into God, trusting in God, instead of leaning into your own understanding. Remember, you've seen the illustration like in the youth groups and stuff. We used to have a person stand here and fall back in the arms of somebody else and say, you know, that's what trust is and that's what faith is. And in many ways, yeah, it is. But when you don't lean into your understanding, this is a command from God. He's saying, because your understanding will contradict the Word of God. Yeah. Your reasoning will contradict the Word of God. It'll say, that's not true. And so it's vital for this particular part, wherever you are in life and whatever you're dealing with right now, don't lean into your own understanding. You almost have to tell yourself, shut up. Quit thinking that. I'm trusting God. You have to say it out loud. I'm trusting God. I believe God. And when these thoughts start coming back in, yeah, but what about this? And how are you going to do it? And what about that? And you know that didn't work for so-and-so. How's it going to work for you? All that. No. Hush. Hush those voices. And God's wisdom and God's ways are so different. For example, He says, if you want to find your life, you have to lose it. All of God's ideas are contrary to human reasoning. God says, trust Him when you can't see, feel, touch anything. Lean not into your own understanding. What does that mean to you right now? Some area of your life, think about it. Is there some area you're really facing a challenge right now and God's trying to get you to trust Him with something? I don't know what it is. Work, relationship, marriage, kids, finances, whatever it is, think about it. Don't lean into your own understanding. Okay? Put your hand on your chest. Say it to yourself. Stop leaning into your own understanding.
Stop leaning into your own understanding. Say it to yourself. You need to talk to yourself. I don't know if you talk to yourself or not, but I talk to myself. You need to talk to yourself. One of the signs of being filled with the Spirit is that you talk to yourself. Speaking to himself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. So it's good to talk to yourself. Okay, as long as you're talking truth. Number three, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I like to start every meeting that we have in church. I like to start every service we have. I like to start every counseling session I ever have with anybody by prayer and acknowledging God. Not to be religious, not to sound spiritual, but I am, for myself, I am truly acknowledging God is right here. And not to acknowledge God would be rude. It would be like somebody coming in to the room and never talking to them. So we're to acknowledge him in all of our ways. That's why you pray over your food. You're just acknowledging God. Lord, I thank you. This is good. Thank you for your provision. So we should be people of prayer. And in everything we do, we acknowledge God is with us. Unbelievers take notice of that. Just don't act religious with it. Just be yourself in all your ways. Acknowledge him. You're bringing God into everything that you're doing. And you're trusting him. Now, there's a process. I want to give you this and we'll be done. The process of trusting God is 3 points. Revelation, repentance, and release. Number one, revelation. The Holy Spirit will show you, and he has been showing you, I guarantee you, he's showing me areas that we have not yet trusting or not yet trusting God. The Holy Spirit is showing you. He is the revealer. He reveals things to us, not to hurt us, not to condemn us, but to help us. So he is showing you in this week in your life, I guarantee you, he's showing you one, at least one area where you're not trusting him, where you're leaning in your own understanding or the opinions of others or whatever. So here's a question for you. You don't have to, don't answer this out loud. Are there areas right now the Lord has already revealed to you, and being here tonight is a confirmation that God is talking to you right now about some area where you are having a hard time trusting him? Would you be so honest and just raise your hand if you feel like that's you? Good. It was one person, it was worth it. Okay. So, revelation. God graciously reveals to us like a father teaching a son. Son, this is where you're not trusting me. Son, you don't trust me with this. You're putting your security in this. You're trusting in that. I want you to trust in me with all your heart. Second thing is repentance. Once the Lord reveals something to you, now you've got a decision to make. You take what the Lord reveals to you. You've been convicted in your heart that, you know, I've not done what I should be doing. You know the difference between conviction and condemnation? Benny, you know that? You heard it. You heard it last week, the week before, in new members class. Condemnation is like an infection. Conviction is like going in and cleaning it out. Conviction is like the father saying, now, son, come here. I want to talk to you about this. That's when the Holy Spirit convicts you. I want to talk to you about this. This is an area you're not trusting me, or this is an area you need to correct, or this is an area where you're not treating your wife right, or you weren't nice to the kids. I want you to take care of that. That's conviction. That's the way God convicts us. He points things out to us. Condemnation is, you dirty, rotten scoundrel. You call yourself a Christian? See, it's a big difference. One cleans out the wound, one infects the wound. Are you there? Breathe a little louder for me, please. Repentance is, God has showed me something. Now I'm going to commit this area. God, you showed me I'm not trusting you in the area of finances. I'm not trusting you to fix this. Now, God, I'm going to take this and I'm going to repent of that, and I'm going to ask you to help me. And God will help you. It's as simple as that. It's so simple. God will help you. And then finally, number three is a release. So the revelation, the Holy Spirit reveals an area. Second,
repentance. Now I got to make a choice about this. And then the third part, I got to release it. This is where I lay this thing before the Lord and say, now, God, I'm going to commit this area of my life to you. This is going to change right now. I'm going to lay down my ambitions, my hopes, my plans, whatever they are. I'm going to commit it all into your hands, Lord, right here. This is where we do it. That's where the rubber meets the road. Bible says, commit everything you do to the Lord, trust him, and he will help you. Do you believe that? Really? Get ready. Test is coming. It's coming. But it's good. Now, I'd like you just to take a moment now, because I'm really done. I want you to take a moment now, and I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit. Just bow your head, close your eyes, don't go to sleep. And ask the Holy Spirit to show you something that he's been saying to you very clearly over and over again, where you're not really trusting him. When you feel like you got one thing, just throw your hand up real quick. Don't keep it up. Just when you feel like you've heard something from God, throw your hand up. Okay, you can put your hand down right away. And keep on. I want you to stay there for a moment. God will show you if you ask him. Feel like you got something, just raise your hand up and put it right back down. Now, take that before the Lord in prayer. Talk to God right now. Do you really want that to be committed to him? Do you really want to go to the next level? Christian, do you really want to grow in your relationship of trust with God? And this is a practical thing. Then just repent to God. Say, Lord, I repent for not trusting you. Help me to trust you here. I will do it. I will do it. By your grace. And then release, number three. Now declare to God and yourself that you release this area to him. Lord, I release this to you. I am trusting you with my children. I am trusting you with my health. I'm trusting you in my marriage. Okay, say it. You say something out loud to yourself and you're saying it to God. And it's important to do that out loud. And then finally, here's a sample prayer. You can read it. Would you stand to your feet? Would you go ahead and stand to your feet? Now, is this something you want to do? I can't make you. I wouldn't try to. But I want to ask you, if this is something you want to do, then I want you to pray it. You pray it out loud to God, and we'll say it together, and God will know whether you mean it or not, okay? Let's say it together. Lord, I thank you for revealing areas of my life that are not fully committed to you. I repent for not trusting you. I don't want anything to come between us. I lay down all I have, my relationships, my desires, my ambitions, my plans before you now, and commit them into your strong hands. I choose to trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now just close your eyes for a moment. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. When you came in here, I led you to give God thanks in accordance with his command. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now we're about to leave here. Let's leave the same way we came in, giving God thanks. Come on, verbally begin to thank him for what you've heard tonight from his word. Thank him. Thank him for how he's ministering to you, how he's speaking to you, how he's showing you things, how he's not giving up on you, how he loves you, how he helps you even when you don't deserve it. Now, praise Him for His grace. Praise Him for His compassion. Praise Him for His mercy. Praise Him for His love. It's unconditional. Praise Him that He's got a plan for your life. Praise Him for the trial you're going through right now. Thank you, Lord, with exceeding joy. My brethren, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and wanting nothing. Hallelujah! 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 Woo! Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We're learning to thank you in everything we give thanks, and we're learning to praise you in the storms. We're learning to praise you in the trials. We're learning to believe you. We're learning to trust you. We're learning to walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what you've always wanted from us. And that's what you're going to get, Father. In the name of Jesus, let the church say amen. 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 God bless you. Good night.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.